Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. Hope wherever you are and wherever you are listening, you are having a great start to your Tuesday. It is Tuesday. It is June 15th. We are 1 week away from the NBA lottery. And while that may not directly involve the Memphis Grizzlies, it still is going to be an exciting time. And next week, we'll get into why it could impact the Grizzlies. But this week, we have plenty to talk about. Yesterday, it was a really fun day. Our really fun show to spend with Ku Cahill, Locked On Pistons host. He'll be one of several guests that we'll have on in the near future talking about potential trade candidates as well as scenarios with other franchises that could impact the Grizzlies' decisions when it comes to perhaps making a trade or doing something to enhance their current roster. But in the first segment of today's show, I'm going to talk a bit about how other franchises around the NBA, what has happened with them over the past few weeks makes me even more excited about the Grizzlies' future and thankful to be a part of a team that's getting things right off the court at all levels just as much as it is getting things right on the court. Second segment, we'll talk about Dylan Brooks' all-defensive team campaign this year. Unfortunately, he did not make it, but why that's not a negative thing when it comes to Dylan Brooks. And in the third segment, I'll discuss a small yet significant factor for the Grizzlies going into this offseason that I truly do think is a very good development for this team as it continues to, over the next 12 to 24 months, really put this team together for it to take the next step. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. My name is Sean Coleman. You have heard me, obviously, on this show now for nearly 18 months talking about the Grizzlies. I cherish every single time that I get to do it. I'm a credentialed media member with the Grizzlies, have been covering the Grizzlies over at Grizzly Bear Blues now going on 3 years, been here for 18 months, and I just love doing this because it combines so many passions of mine, sports, the NBA, the Grizzlies, everything that I can imagine when it comes to covering the NBA. It's a great opportunity to do this every day, and that's what sets us apart. Your Grizzlies every day, the latest news, insight, perspectives, and honest truth when it comes to the Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, want to remind you of the title sponsor of our show, Michelob Ultra. Coming up, we'll have our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week for the Grizzlies. But obviously, to yesterday's news cycle when it came to the NBA was not about the playoffs, was not about Chris Paul and the Suns. You know, their absolutely wonderful advancement in the NBA playoffs, no matter what opinion you may have of Paul and Devin Booker, and Memphis fans rightfully may not have the highest of opinions of either of them, but it is fun to see that a team that's not been there before, new blood, a new face, be in the Western Conference Finals for a chance to go to the finals like we saw last year with the Nuggets and the Heat. That's not what dominated the headlines today. It was yet another franchise that seems to be having turmoil. There seems to be crack in the foundation that you otherwise would not have known about. This time around, it was the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, with, you know, it seems like there's a bit of front office issues with, you know, members of the front office as well as Luka Doncic. Now, I don't think this is going to mean that Luka is going anywhere. I don't think that, you know, obviously, if there's something that's impacting Luka in Dallas, you choose to get rid of that something other than Luka. But the point is that this is the latest in seeing one franchise after another, and we see it almost every single season. Multiple franchises who just absolutely go through this point of chaos in order to find continuity. Now, the Grizzlies themselves were at that point. They were experiencing this almost every 3 years or every other year, even during the Grit and Grind era. We saw it just over 2 years ago, the day that both Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff, they gave their end-of-the-season media sessions in the morning, were immediately let go in the afternoon. So the Grizzlies are not free of this type of chaos in their past. They've certainly experienced it. But seeing these things happen in Dallas and Portland, in Indiana, in Boston, and other places, it should not take away from the fact that Memphis has had those same experiences. But it certainly does feel that Memphis has gotten it right. Instead of the chaos that we're seeing in many other places, the continuity that is here in Memphis is another very, very good asset of this team moving forward because everybody's on the same page. And it starts with Robert Parra. You know, a name that we certainly saw more of and heard more things from, saw a lot of times possibly more bad than good, you know, in terms of his impact, but we don't hear much from him anymore. The thing that we did see here recently was that they released the richest owners of a sports team in the world, and Robert Pera was sixth on that list. Now, we've heard, some less than ideal news before about the Ubiquities business that he owns, but it certainly seems like things are going well. I don't want to speculate too much on that because that's not my, area of knowledge. But the thing in general is that obviously Robert Pera as an owner is someone that is very successful in the field that he knows while also becoming more and more successful as an owner with the Grizzlies. And how is he doing it? He's staying out of the picture. I don't mean that as a negative. He's the owner of the team. Obviously, hey, he has the right to do what he wants. But after a few years of, trying to have a hands-on experience, making suggestions that probably didn't make the most sense, coming in, and when he did try to impact the franchise, it really didn't have a beneficial outcome. It really seems like Robert Pera just came to the understanding, my best bet is to choose the right people to lead this franchise and stay out of the way with the trust that they'll do exactly that. And that's exactly what Zach Kleiman has done. He did it in one summer, basically, drafting Ja, hiring Taylor Jenkins, basically completing his roster with trades and other avenues, extensions, but putting together a roster that not only loves playing together, but obviously is continuing to excel together. And that's the reason why Memphis made the commitment to Kleiman. They wanted him to know that they recognized his hard work, recognized his success, and are fully committed to his view, because Kleiman's view is fully committed to bringing the first championship to Memphis that the Grizzlies have ever experienced. That means something. And it not only means that there's a commitment there from the franchise and its lead executive, it also means that you keep the Sharks away. I know I've mentioned this before, but it's very important for the trust of the owner to be in, for the trust of the owner to be in his lead executive in Zach Kleiman in terms of basketball decisions. Jason Wexler has absolutely done well off the field as well, but you have a duo of lead executives who are making decisions just home run after home run on and off the court that are really setting up the foundation for the present and the future for the Grizzlies. But that trust also goes down from Pera to Wexler and Kleiman down to Coach Taylor Jenkins, who Zach Kleiman chose as the coach unexpectedly. There wasn't really a background where Taylor Jenkins had proven that he was going to be a successful coach. But what did Taylor Jenkins do? He came right in and established that he wanted to gain the trust of his roster. He also, as story showed before this season, even with an offseason that was unprecedented, Taylor Jenkins and Zach Kleiman took the opportunity to get to know each other. They took the opportunity to learn how each other operates. They found similarities in how they operated. I don't think that it should be ignored that the business school backgrounds and, just the overall, intelligence and business nuance of Pera and Kleiman and Jenkins from their backgrounds, I think that that was a connection point. There's not much basketball there, but there is knowledge of how to run things like a business and in general to do things that make business successful, and establishing trust and having continuity is what it's been done. And then when Jenkins puts that trust into the roster, letting the players know that he's going to back them, you never see him say anything negative in these press conferences. You never see him ruffle feathers. You never see him speculate or anything like that. Yeah, it may not lead to the most entertaining press conferences, but these players know that Coach Taylor Jenkins has confidence in them and has their trust. And that is a big step for these players to know that they can grow and do the things that they need to do in order to develop and become better versions of themselves over time. But of course, it all comes down to the star of the franchise, and that's Ja Morant. Obviously, his talent on the court. The Grizzlies lucked into Ja Morant. There's no more accurate word to describe it, but they were competent in taking advantage of their luck to not only get a player that is good, that has, anchors in terms of who he is, but also one that has connection points that make him want to make the most of his opportunity in Memphis. I don't know what the future holds for Ja. I'm not going to speculate about that, but Ja certainly seems to be the type of player that is committed to what he has here in Memphis because the franchise committed this franchise's future to him as the face of it. Obviously, he's got his ties to Murray State, which is in the Mid-South. That certainly helps. He comes from an upbringing in a rural area. He's not someone who, you know, grew up in a big city or something like that. I'm sure that that may be something that Ja has plans for in the future, but there's that connection point of where he came from, where he went to school, coming to Memphis. I believe that it's one of one, second to none. The underdog story, the mentality, the fact that Ja puts the importance of the success of those that have supported him above his own success, what makes him a great point guard, what makes him a great person, and what makes him a great fit for Memphis. And Coach Taylor Jenkins, Zach Kleiman, Robert Pera all recognized that when they had the chance to draft him. So several things have certainly gone right for Memphis. Some of it has been luck. Some of it has been competence. But there's the continuity from all four levels. Ownership, the front office, the coaching staff, and the roster. All of these different levels enjoy working with the other levels because they know that the continuity has to be there. They know that there has to be a solid foundation for this to work in a market like Memphis. Now, Zach Kleiman mentioned in the end of the season press conferences, he doesn't really put much stock in the small market stuff and all that. The reason why is because he fully believes that if you do things right on and off the court at all levels of the franchise, success will find itself and success can be maintained. And everybody has the full commitment of not only being successful, but bringing Memphis its first championship. So when we see these other places going through these chaos, the other thing that the Grizzlies know is that they've been there before. This franchise knows, Robert Pera knows, Zach Kleiman knows what it's like to see things on a 180 opposite. They know what it's like to witness things be chaotic and be unstable without continuity. From that, and also from seeing how successful the past 2 years have been, when there's been harmonious continuity, whatever you want to call it, communication has been excellent. Everybody has been committed to the same thing, and that should be maintained. Nobody knows what the future is going to hold. One thing unexpectedly can certainly cause an issue moving forward, but it becomes far less likely that that happens in a setup like you have in Memphis, when at ownership, front office, the coaching staff, and the roster, everybody seems to trust everybody. Everybody seems to be committed to their vision, and there seems to be continuity in everybody doing their role to make the most of this opportunity here in Memphis. So that's why when we hear all these different situations going around elsewhere in the NBA, it makes me more thankful for the setup we currently have here in Memphis now, in the present, and going forward. Because one of the results of that is players continuing to reach unexpected levels when it comes to their success. And one person who certainly did that this year is Dylan Brooks. Now, his offense certainly got the headlines at the end of the year, but the defense has been his calling card all season. Coming up, I'm going to discuss, though, Dylan Brooks did not get all defensive team honors that in no way, shape, or form should take away from how special he was for the Grizzlies this season. Though it may not be on the same level as all NBA defensive team honors, we certainly are going to honor Dylan Brooks when it's up to us, or me particularly, to who we can honor. And that is Dylan Brooks this week. He is our Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Now, I think that there are a few, if any, better examples when it comes to a player that truly thrives off being able to play with the crew that Dylan Brooks gets to play with. He'll tell you any day of the week, the biggest thing that stands out for him about this team is how much faith, confidence, and love this roster has for each other. And it allows for everybody to be able to play at the level that's expected of them, but to surpass it in time as well, because they love working together, they love evolving their games and developing it because of the support that they get. There's a joy, there's a happiness, a pure enjoyment that all of these players really enjoy playing with, and it makes them want to do things that may not get all the love, may not get all the highlights, like playing defense. And there's no better example of that on this team than Dylan Brooks with the energy he brings each and every night. I can tell you this, you can bring that energy as well. You can bring that enjoyment as a fan. If you enjoy watching games, another way that you can enjoy it is a nice glass of Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. Make sure the next time that you enjoy a sporting event, especially the Grizzlies in time, you enjoy it with a nice glass of Michelob Ultra. Speaking of Michelob Ultra, it also is brought to you, our coverage of the NBA playoffs is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. Coming up on tomorrow's show of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, we now know who the All-NBA defensive team is. Well, tomorrow, I'm going to talk about where there may be the Grizzlies' best chance of having some postseason awards this season. Just like we saw it for basically the third straight year, the Grizzlies could have a rookie, actually multiple rookies, who could have honors over the next 24 to 48 hours if the All-NBA rookie teams are announced with Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. In the first of our player reviews this season, we'll look at the seasons for Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman and talk about their chances of getting honored with all NBA rookie honors. Certainly a trend that we've seen from this Memphis Grizzlies team. And the thing about it is this, is that, you know, we talk about these rookie selections for the Grizzlies. And, you know, we go back to 19 when it was, you know, John and Brandon Clark. We go back to 2018 when it was Jaren. But going back to 2017, Dylan Brooks obviously looks like one of the more valuable players that this Grizzlies team has drafted in quite a while. And the thing that stands out about it is that we finally saw the evolution of Dylan Brooks into a true asset offensively. Now, in the seven games that he played after the season ended, do I feel that that's Dylan Brooks on a consistent basis going forward? I personally don't. It's hard to see that type of improvement. You certainly hope that's there, and I don't doubt that he will make it happen if it can happen, but am I sitting here expecting him to shoot 53% or so on 20 shots a night, score 25 a game? No, probably not. But one thing that you did certainly buy into with confidence this year was the swagger, was the energy, was the overall edge and attitude that Dylan Brooks played with, and obviously because of that, the defensive impact he made. Now, they announced the first and second All-NBA defensive teams last night, and Dylan Brooks did not make it himself. You know, players like Jrue Holiday, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, a lot of those players made it. A few of those that I mentioned probably didn't make the most sense to make it. Some of them were certainly deserving. In general, Dylan Brooks not making the All-NBA defensive team, it's not a surprise. But that doesn't mean he certainly did not deserve it. And the reason why, the Grizzlies this season finished 7th in the NBA in defensive rating. 7th in the NBA. As I mentioned, last week, it was kind of, you know, eye-opening that the Grizzlies' defense itself, their defensive rating itself, actually was worse this season than it was last year. But the important thing is that this Grizzlies' defense found different ways in order for it to be successful as the season went along, and that was led by Dylan Brooks finding different ways to be successful himself. If you recall from a previous episode that I did this year, the Grizzlies' defense in the first half of the season was very, very much based off its ability to create turnovers. It was based off its ability to consistently create disruption for its opponents by creating turnovers, getting extra possessions, and allowing for this team to use its defense to turn it into offense. They were able to overcome several of their best offensive players being out because the defense was so opportunistic. A big reason for that was Dylan Brooks. The chaos he created through deflections, through steals, through distractions, just through purely annoying the players that he played with, even his fouls. One thing that I will say about Dylan Brooks, he fouls a lot. I think that he leads the NBA in fouls combined over the past 2 years. But it's an acceptable part of his game a lot of times, in my opinion, because that just simply is part of his game. He plays a physical, energetic style of basketball that sometimes is going to lead to fouls. It's going to make him more likely to be called for fouls. And that's fine. You'd certainly like to see less of it, but you accept it because of the impact that it has on the players that he guards. And that's the thing that stands out, is that Dylan was a big reason why the defense was able to succeed to start the year through creating turnovers. But as time went along and the Grizzlies basically became more fatigued, you have to have energy and effort. And it's not that they didn't want to have that as the season wore on into March and April and so on. It's simply the fact that just because of how condensed the schedule was, it wasn't as easy to tap into those sources to have the energy and the effort to constantly cause turnovers. So where did the Grizzlies find success to maintain being a top defense? It was through general defense. It was through guarding the three-point line. But for Dylan especially, it was him leading the charge, and others certainly played an important role. But it was Dylan leading the charge in silencing several of the better perimeter scorers that the Grizzlies faced during the season. You know, we saw it when they played against Bradley Beal early in March. We saw it against Jamal Murray. We saw it against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard when the Clippers came to town. We saw it against, you know, several other players. Damian Lillard when the Grizzlies swept the Trailblazers in towards late April in Portland. We saw it on display against Steph Curry, against DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell had his way with Dylan Brooks, but I just went through a list of several elite scorers' names that Dylan Brooks was the primary reason as to why they struggled when they faced the Grizzlies. So one clear thing that stands out about this Grizzlies team, they have had success. They have maintained being one of the better defenses in the league this year, but they've done it in different ways. They adjusted their strength of defense based off what was available to them, and Dylan led the charge in both ways. The thing is that it's hard to quantify that. You know, it's hard to sit here and judge a player based off the lack of shooting from other players. Dylan doesn't get as many steals or you know, number quantitative results as others do. There's more of a quality aspect, not in terms of defensive value itself, but there's more of it's outside the box score impact that Dylan makes with his defense. And so for the reasons that I mentioned, the fact that this Grizzlies team was able to find multiple ways to be successful this season, despite the fact that it had to do it in different ways, starting off the year creating turnovers, but as the year went along, becoming better at playing general defense, defending the three, defending the opposition's best shooters, Dylan was a big reason why all of that was successful. And for that reason, even though he did not get an all-defensive team award, he did not get an all-defensive team recognition, it should not be disappointing. I certainly know it is important to Dylan. It's important to Ja. It's important to the team. It's probably frustrating to see the fact that Dylan Brooks did not make the All-NBA team. As a matter of fact, the Lakers, 76ers, Jazz, Knicks, each of them, were Golden State, each of them were top five in the NBA this year when it came to the defensive rating. The Grizzlies were seventh. The Phoenix Suns, Mikal Bridges was basically 11th, I believe, in terms of All-NBA defense voting. Also, the Knicks, I do not believe, had an All-NBA defender as well. But the Grizzlies were right there at number seven this year in defensive rating. So it's disappointing to see Dylan Brooks did not get all NBA defensive honors. One reason why, in my opinion, all defensive team honors, six-man honors, rookie of the year honors, a lot of it is based on counting stats. And that's fine. You know, it's flawed, but it's fine. At the end of the day, the strength of the Grizzlies' defense, when they're not producing turnovers, that is when Dylan shines the brightest because of the impact that he makes in terms of general defense on whoever he's guarding. And a lot of times that can't be quantified. So my point is that even though it's probably disappointing to the team and to Dylan Brooks, he didn't get all defensive honors, that should not in any way, shape, or form water down not only the strides, but the impact he consistently made in making the strength of this team its defense and showing that he can be effective besides his flaws when it comes to energy, effort, and just a constant swagger and determination to make life as tough as possible for whoever he's guarding. So if your determination of how good a player or a team is on defense is based off the fact that they win awards, I've got news for you. It seems like a flawed way of looking at things. Yes, Dylan Brooks certainly wanted that all-defensive team recognition. Did he deserve it? That's debatable. I think a case certainly could be made. But at the end of the day, his impact and his value defensively to this team cannot be understated. It was a big reason why this Grizzlies team was able to stay afloat for much of the season because of the lack of health that they experienced. But when they were finally healthy, he remained the one that made the biggest impact, with the rest of the team following in his suit to give them a chance to exceed expectations. And that's exactly what they did. And from that confidence, from that success, it made Dylan evolve into an even better player offensively and become a truly impactful two-way player when the Grizzlies needed it the most. So you have to give your hats off to Dylan Brooks, to his defensive effort. You have to expect it's going to continue. He's going to be even more motivated next year to get that recognition that he deserves, because he certainly does deserve it, because he leaves everything that he can offer out there on the court. And it's not just effort. It's not just a quantity type aspect. There's plenty of quality in his game now on both ends of the court, but especially on defense, and that is especially true as the tone setter for this Grizzlies roster overall. But one of the other things that stands out about this team that we have to be excited about going into the offseason is that everybody finally is going to be able to focus on development instead of rehab. Coming up, I'm going to talk a bit more about how the playoffs, just like the regular season, are continuing to remind us that the Grizzlies, one of the best things about this Grizzlies offseason is that everybody is going into it healthy. As just mentioned, it was awesome to see the Phoenix Suns have their accomplishment of getting to the Western Conference Finals. And obviously, as we keep going along in these playoffs every single day, both across the NBA and the NHL, we're getting a better idea of who is going to have a shot at a title. So odds are going to change. Well, if betting and wagering is part of what makes you a fan when it comes to sports, I've got the one place that has you covered, and that's betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline, as well as the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, soccer, MMA action, coming up the Olympics. So many different athletes and sports that you love are going to be in action. And if betting and wagering is part of your fun, you can choose from a variety of different options to enjoy. Before the next pitch or the next hoop or the next puck that goes into the net, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device and put in the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Obviously, the summer is here, and if you're someone like me who's trying to get in a bit better shape, it's not jogging 50 miles, it's not biking 100 miles, especially in this heat. It's just taking small steps to make yourself be a better version of you. And that is starting with getting into a routine where you can have healthy parts of your day when it comes to eating. Well, one thing that I can add to that is Built Bar. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon for a snack before or after a workout. The great thing about Built Bar is that no matter what flavors you like, there are over 18 different ones to choose from at BuiltBar.com, so you're likely to find what you want and enjoy there. And if y'all also go to BuiltBar.com right now and put in the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Again, once you make Built Bar a part of your day, it's going to be there to stay. Go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Today on the Locked On Today podcast, can the Clippers follow in the Bucks' footsteps? Get more of the sports news you need and less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just a reminder, tomorrow we will be discussing the Grizzlies' rookie impacts from Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman. Once again, another season in which the Grizzlies had a big impact from their rookies. But just how impactful were those rookies? What are their chances of getting some postseason awards when the All-NBA rookie teams are announced? And how the impact of rookies could change a bit for the Grizzlies going forward when it comes to their roster? All that covered on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Well, the one thing that I want to say is that this So the NBA playoffs this year have actually been very successful. I've talked about the fact you've seen several first-time playoff, the first-time playoff experiences of many young stars be absolutely wonderful, from Ja to Trey to Devin Booker and others. You've seen some resurgence of some players as well, like Chris Paul. And obviously the other big storyline is that it seems like it's really setting up to where you're going to see, once again, a team achieve an opportunity that they've never really had before, or it's been a while since they've had it, and having the chance at the title. You've got new blood in the runnings now for being able to make the most of this season to have a true chance at a title. But one of the other themes, while that perspective is certainly positive, one of the other things that does stand out is all the injuries that have occurred that, number one, have allowed for these new contenders to emerge, but also the injuries themselves that are happening in the playoffs. I mean, look at the big names that you've seen. Kyrie Irving and James Harden running into injury issues on the Nets. You've seen the Bucks lose Dante DiVincenzo. You've seen the 76ers. Unfortunately, they had Joel Embiid, who's not at 100%. The Hawks are without DJ Hunter. The Jazz are without Mike Conley. Chris Paul has had his injury issues this playoff season. You've also seen other teams that were hoping to contend not be there because of injuries. Obviously, the Nuggets with Jamal Murray's injury. The Lakers, obviously, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It certainly seems as if having a shortened, unprecedented offseason and then a condensed schedule this year has made an unfortunate impact, and it unfortunately has impacted the health of several of the biggest stars in the NBA. Other names besides Jamal Murray that you know about are Zion Williamson with his broken, with the torn ligament in his finger, Jaylen Brown with his wrist injury. It seems like several of the NBA's up-and-coming stars and established stars have dealt with serious injuries at one point or another. But one big underrated aspect or positive for this Grizzlies team going into this offseason is that they arguably are one of the healthiest teams right now going into the offseason. And that certainly is a contrast from the first half of the season when they dealt with injury after injury to an important player while also having Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow out. Now, if you want to say last year was a lost year for Jaren and Justice, I don't think that's a stretch. I can certainly understand that's what you're saying. I can certainly understand your perspective on that. But I think that if you're going to point that out, I think it's also fair to point out the proof that is there with this Grizzlies roster itself, that you should not discount the fact that Jaren and Justice going into this offseason healthy could be a big boost next year for them to get back to where they once were and even take a step forward. And you need go no further than the best players on the Grizzlies team this past year. Look at it. Dylan Brooks missed nearly all of the 2018-2019 season due to an injury. Went through rehab in the summer of 2019, continued to try to get health, focus on his game, but also had to focus on rehab. The 2019-2020 season, sure, ups and downs, a bit of frustration, but when the Grizzlies were playing their best, Dylan Brooks was playing his, and that led to an extension. And then he comes into this past offseason healthy, fully focused on developing his game. Look what happened. Look at how much improved play you got from Dylan Brooks this year, because he was coming off an offseason in which he was in Taylor Jenkins' system for the second time through and was fully healthy. Kyle Anderson, we talk about how in his first two seasons in Memphis, it was a bit of a struggle because he was not able to shoot, because he seemed like an odd fit in Taylor Jenkins' system. But obviously, Kyle Anderson was dealing with his own injury. He was dealing with a shoulder rib injury that he was trying to overcome. He had surgery, and his 2020 started to progress. Even though there was a suspension in the season, we started to see signs that Kyle Anderson was becoming more comfortable in his shot and in Taylor Jenkins' system. And look what happens this year. He gets healthy after the suspension of the season into the bubble last year, and then goes through this past offseason, even though it was unprecedented, he was healthy, able to focus on developing this game. He has a career year, fully should have been in the most improved conversation. A big reason why the Grizzlies were successful, arguably for a big stretch of the season, the Grizzlies' best player. Jonas Valanciunas is another example. If you recall back on March 31st of 2019, his season ended due to injury. So he went into the offseason having to rehab as well. But the 2019-2020 season, he showed a new level of production that we had not seen before on a consistent basis in Toronto. And then he goes into last offseason, again healthy, again being able to develop his game. And what does he do? He comes out and has a career year. One of the big reasons why Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, and Jonas Valanciunas all had career years this year in Taylor Jenkins' system was not only because they were in his system for the second year, which made a big difference, but also because they did not go into last offseason unhealthy. They had the full ability and the full focus on improving their games, and look at what happened. Those are great examples to show that for Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr., as they go into an offseason where they can fully focus on finding their best fits in Taylor Jenkins' system, as well as being fully focused on developing their games, that Jenkins and his staff and the franchise can work with them to help their games evolve like they did Dylan, Jonas, and Kyle this past season. I'm not saying that all of a sudden Justice Winslow, you know, you should highly expect Justice Winslow to become a true part of our future or for Jaren to be an all-star next year. But I am saying that if you're going to, you know, have a negative perspective about the outlook for Jaren and Justice, just look at the outlook that we had for Dylan and Kyle Anderson 12 short months ago, but then they go through an offseason where they're healthy and they can fully focus on the impact that Taylor Jenkins and his staff can have on their game, and look not only how their games have improved, but how the perception of each of them has changed. That's why it's very, very positive that everybody up and down this roster is healthy. And it's not just Justice and Jaren. You hope to see the shot, the ability to shoot from jaw improve. You hope to see players up and down the roster, Brandon Clark getting back to his effectiveness. You hope to continue to see good all-around production from Desmond Bane. You hope to see more consistent into the season from DeAnthony Melton. Everybody has everything about their game they can work on. But everybody, thankfully, has the ability to focus on just that instead of rehabbing. And if we saw the impact, if we saw what type of results Taylor Jenkins could get out of Dylan, Kyle, and Jonas this season after they were able to have an offseason where they could fully focus on health, and it was an offseason that was unprecedented, just think about what could happen with a more normal offseason in which the whole roster is healthy. There's a lot of proof that Taylor Jenkins can have a big impact on helping his players reach the potential that's expected out of them. He just has to have the opportunity to do it. And don't forget, in the second half of the season, this is the one thing that Zach Kleiman said, is that they didn't have a lot of time to focus on these things with how many games they played and the fact that they couldn't practice. Now, the Grizzlies have 3 to 4 full months of being able to really focus on how to develop the players that they have on their roster. Number one, that adds a bit of logic, a bit of reason to perhaps run it back with this roster again. But in my opinion, it should also add confidence to the fans and anybody who covers the Grizzlies or had an opinion of the Grizzlies. What you've seen Taylor Jenkins be able to do with some of the most important players from this past season, because they were healthy and they were able to fully focus on developing their games in his system, that's a reason why you should have confidence that Jaren, Justice, and others can do the same this offseason. And just think of how awesome that will be for the Grizzlies, not only next season, but into the future. So the continuity of the front office. Dylan Brooks' defensive showing this season, despite not making the all-defensive team, and the Grizzlies' health. Three of several reasons why we should have absolutely nothing but a positive outlook for this team going into this offseason, especially knowing that this roster has even more growth in it. There's still a significant amount of potential and growth on this roster when it comes to them playing together. And them all being healthy and being able to fully focus on getting better could be one of the biggest storylines for this Grizzlies team and could be looked back upon as being one of the biggest reasons why the Grizzlies can continue to build off their ability to exceed expectations going into next year, even if they don't make a big roster upgrade like many hope they will. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC, the podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. We ask that you listen, subscribe, review, let us know what you think of the show. We always want to make sure we're delivering content that is relevant to our listeners' preferences. Tomorrow, it's all about the rookies, talking about Desmond Bane, Xavier Tillman, the impact that rookies have made on the Grizzlies over the past few years, and why that may be a bit of a difference that you see going forward for this Grizzlies team, but for good reason. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.